friends. I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 3. Gospel of Mark in chapter 3. I'd like to read the verse 1 to start. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And this is be one of the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ that demonstrates God's care, God's interest in us. Such an amazing interest he has in us, even though unworthy, even though only sinners that grieve him, yet God has such an amazing interest. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that, especially in those miracles that he wrought. The Lord Jesus demonstrated the care that he has for us. And it's helpful, my dear friends, to be told right at the beginning, especially those of us who are young, that you always think that the world will be such a wonderful place to live. You will soon realize that the world is such an unfair place, and that people are not that much caring. In fact, what the very best people can do, you would realize, you would know such a care and such interest in your soul, over your soul, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my concern this morning, to try and urge you to see your need of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the one who cares for your soul and who has such amazing interest. God so values us. Now, this miracle, we are told, occurred in the synagogue, but you have the word there again, that I can just explain briefly. And he entered again into the synagogue, because in Mark, already the Lord Jesus Christ had entered two synagogues already. He had entered one in Capernaum and another in Galilee, and this seems to be in Capernaum also. So he had come back to Capernaum and he's gone into the synagogue. And there was a man, which had a withered hand. This is a very sad plight. This man had a hand which could not function. It is simply hung about him. He's not able to use that hand. The hand is paralyzed. Luke tells us that it is his right hand. So it is a hand of strength and a hand that of activity that is gone bad. And so, usually, we do not know whether this man's case would have been exceptional, but usually, when people fall into such circumstances, all they could do was to beg, was to go about begging, because he cannot function as he should. There were not those training in those days where people try to use the other parts of their bodies when they can't do with their hand, but maybe he was a left-handed man, and so he could have used the left. We cannot know. But one thing is sure, that unless there's an exception with his situation, he would have ended up a beggar. And this man's case is here. He's come to the synagogue, and verse 2. And they, that's the Pharisees and the elders of the church, and they watched him, whether he will heal him on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him. In fact, we are told in the other Gospels, and this time is Matthew, he tells us that they actually asked him a question. They asked him, is it right to heal on the Sabbath day? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said here, yeah, what his response in verse 3 and 4 was actually towards their question. Was it right, they were asking, to heal on the Sabbath day? And the Lord Jesus Christ would give a perfect answer. But it's quite striking to see it again. And they watched him whether he will heal on the Sabbath day. Why were they expecting him to heal? Because they know him. They know that's his habit. They know that he's a sympathetic man and compassionate. And when he saw a disabled person, he was willing to get him out of his state. And so they could expect that maybe he would do it again. And so they're now going to seek occasion against him, if they can just plot something around what he was going to do. Friends, it's so beautiful to see that even his enemies knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was that a sympathetic and compassionate person. Everything else, in fact, you would realize that of all the accusations they brought against him, no one ever could say that he was a hardened person and indifferent to human plight and things like that. Not such a description of him. Whatever else they said, no one could say that. Friend, I'm strengthening this to only let you see that this is who the Savior is. He's such a kind, sympathetic person. The Lord Jesus Christ, who invites sinners to Him, has this quality about Him. People who came close to Him saw it easily. This is a sympathetic man. This is a man who has compassion for the state of people. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that very soon. And so, look at in verse 2. And they watched him, whether he will heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Now, this is quite a striking thing. And I would stress more about that when I come to verse 5. But I just want to give you just a thought about that. You see, here are people who were supposed to be religious persons. And strangely, my dear friends, it's helpful for us to talk about this. Who seem to be very religious persons, and yet they didn't seem to have real interest in people. And for these same persons, the Lord Jesus Christ accused them another time and said, "You are so much eager even to travel the seas, the oceans, and bring in people and make them your disciples. And at the end, they become worse, even far worse than yourselves." Why? Because they are only interested in saying, hey, we've got them in. We've got so much number of Gentiles and turned them into Jews. And that was all their happiness. They didn't care what kind of persons they were. They didn't care about the state of their hearts or things like those. My dear friends, we stress this because, you know, it is the duty of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any church, if it is worth its salt, any church, if it is truly a proper one, she shows so much interest in your soul. They must help you. They must be so absorbed and do whatever they can to really help you find the Lord and to know Him, however much it costs them. For a single person, a single soul, they will, if they are a true church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ and truly want to honor Him. They do not care about the numbers. They do not care about what that person will bring into their midst, whether money, status, or whatever. These things are nothing at all to them. Like their Lord, they are supposed to be interested in your soul, will instructing you and showing how you may know the Lord and come to Him. Oh friends, I'm only mentioning this, you see, so that probably it may be a help to some of you who are maybe desirous of hopping from church to church simply because you are determining where I'll get the most entertainment. Be careful, because the help has to come about the care for your soul and a sincere interest in that. But these people were a disappointment. The Lord Jesus will express that very soon. And I go on to verse 3. And he says unto the man which has the withered hand, stand forth. What is so beautiful here is the Lord Jesus Christ despised them. He didn't mind them. He actually told the man, stand up. Stand in the midst of them, so everybody sees you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to make it so clear. But before he did that, he has to put forth a question to them. As I said, it is an answer. It is an answer to their query. Verse 4. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. They were asking him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And he puts the question back to them. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? And they could not answer him because these people have missed it all. They did not realize, and my friends, you may not realize, that every one of God's commandments, the Lord Jesus is speaking only one, but true of all the commandments of God, all the commandments of God, though God's glory is the number one concern, and yet God has an interest in view. Every one of those commands of God are of interest to us. God designed them for our good. Every one of those commands. And so if you find your own heart desiring to be rebellious towards God's command, well, you have to come to your senses and say, what am I doing? What am I doing? These commandments of God are meant to protect me and to keep me safe so that I do not run into the arms of Satan and perish. Every one of God's commands were for our good and for our benefit. That was the purpose of the Lord. Now, These people don't realize it. At the time the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Pharisees had made the Sabbath rule as if it was a burden. They had tied themselves up with all mini rules, small rules, and it had lost its beauty and its purpose. And the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes them here that it was rather better to do good on the Sabbath. If it is good we want to do, we can do that. And he says unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. What else can they say? Because they have no answer to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Friends, I am sure if you are not converted, you do not have interest in the teachings of the Bible. You do not have interest in the commandments of God. And we understand why this is the case. Probably, you know, one of the amazing things, you find people who seem to be interested in aspects of the commandments of God only for entirely selfish reasons. So, I beg your pardon, in due respect, you may find probably a wife who is so much interested in thou shalt not commit adultery because, well, so that she'll be safe around her husband or things like that. So the whole reason why the interest is there is simply because I want to protect. Now, God is taking care of our protection already, but you see, what God wants us to do is to take interest in all His commandments. They all form one big unit. If you are not interested in any part of it, they are a sign. You have no interest in any of them. If any part of it seems so unwelcoming and you don't like it, it shows that you have a heart that doesn't like God. And so this is the challenge to us. But friends, it is against us because these commandments are for our good and for our benefit, as the Savior said. The very moment you are converted and are made a child of God, and the Savior washes you and changes you, you will love every one of His commands. You will love every one of His teachings. And you will gladly obey them. And in fact, we stress even this. And we stress this again and again. It's only when you are converted that you truly understand this. Then, whenever you see God's command plainly in the Bible, you would want to keep it. You will never confer with flesh and blood. You will never confer with anybody. This is what God is saying. If I'm not clear, I may seek help. If I do not know why, I need explanation, I can be told. But once the command is known, once the command is plain, why? Because you see yourself under God as a sovereign. He's a sovereign ruler. He speaks and I must listen. He commands and I must obey. This is a beautiful thing. When you come under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happens. When He speaks, His words are final. And if it, what does it mean to be final? Just those. When He speaks, and I understand it, all that is open to me is obey, and nothing else. To follow Him entirely. Grace puts that in the soul, where we are willing to submit entirely to Him. But these people won't. Verse 4. And He says unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. They could not answer the Lord, of course, because the reasoning was so clear. And oh friends, if these people would have just let their conscience instruct them, they wouldn't have been going after the Lord. Why could they not answer Him? Was it not because probably their own conscience was attesting to what the Savior said? And they were saying, well, this man must be right. And yet they would not. They would harden themselves against it all and go against the Lord. And this is sad. The Lord would demonstrate His care. And then in verse 5, and when He had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, He said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, And friends, I would pick the last line very soon. But just look at the words of the first part. And when he had looked round about them with anger. This is very rare of our dear Savior. How many times do you read in the Bible that he became angry? In fact, we think he may have become angry when he went into the temple to drive those people out. And most likely he was, but in fact the word was not used of him. But most likely we're told that zeal for his house, his father's house, zeal for his father's house consumed him. But this case, when people are so insensitive to the plight of men, the Savior is angry. They could not see. What is sad to the Savior's heart, we are sure, is that they have missed the point. This is the laws of God intended to benefit people. And you have turned it out into something that actually robs people of getting the benefit. Surely the Savior has to be angry. And he was. And when he had looked round about them with anger, as if he ran his eyes around them all, looking at their face with a stern face, stern eyes, looking into every one of them, as if to ask them, what are you thinking? Would you put forth an answer? Would you answer me, perhaps? Challenging them, and none of them. These people, perhaps now, sitting down quietly like stones, just looking at him. And now it is him alone, right in the midst of them, with a man standing right in front of him. And he was boiling with anger. Why could they do this? Why could they be so insensitive? Please, sir, there's so much of this in this world. And it so displeases the Savior. Insensitivity to people. I do not know whether you've had this discussion, but very many times we've been talking about this elsewhere. That look at, if you think of nations, how much they are willing to donate to football. And how much do they donate for health care? We're still struggling over that. Of course, we're not blaming those who want their money. That's another issue entirely. But why have we become such persons? So that we really become so insensitive, friends. You know, the answer lies in the fact that we've never felt God to be the ruler of our hearts. He is the one who must command and instruct, and all I do is obey. And that's all. No other thing. And I, as I said again, why he commands as the sovereign head, and he that counts himself a servant asks no questions, confers with none, goes ahead in obedience to his sovereign Lord and King. If people will not bow to that, there would always be insensitivity in their souls. Friends, the first motive for care for people and their souls is because of God who is watching me. And I'm a servant under him who must only follow him and do as he did. You see? And we are never influenced by those around or their opinions, but only him and what he said. And so it's quite sad how these things are happening everywhere where there's such insensitivity. I remember in the 80s, 1980s, was it, when we were still in the revolution, was it? Yes, we were still in the revolution because we stopped that in the 1992, wasn't it? But before then, there was a time, this interesting news item that came up. Because around that time, Ghana was going for a loan from IMF, World Bank, I forget that, but I remember this very well. Ghana was going for a loan. And then there was this news that came up. And a man living in one of these European countries, America or one of these European countries, he was bequeathing, I mean, he's asking the court that if he died, that his money should be used to cater for his cat. And what was striking was that the money was far more than the loan Ghana needed. So that if the man had at least said, okay, when I die, I give that money to Ghana, who wouldn't have needed the loan. And yet, how would they do it? So no. Why, my dear friends? The only thing that breaks human selfishness is the sense of a sovereign, and I, a servant, a sovereign Lord who speaks with authority. Once I'm clear of his instructions, no questions, no queries, no conference with anyone. I bow to him and I obey. But you can't do that unless the heart is changed. Because of course the human beings have his opinions and they would never bow to Christ. They won't, except it seems favorable and nice. But the only way we can have our heart truly sensitive is when God becomes our sovereign. We do not only say it, but feel it in our souls. He rules. His word is final. His authority is unchallenged. And I do not bring his glory down by going to confer with man to tell me whether that command must be obeyed or not. It cannot be done. He is the sovereign ruler and Lord of all. If we enter into that, then we become very sensitive persons. Because we see God's eye. God is watching me. I am answerable to God. I am the one to account to God. It changes the whole scene, my dear friends. But you know, it's difficult for all of us. Because only the Lord Jesus Christ effects that. He brings us to himself, washes away our sins, and put a new nature in us. And a new nature, in the passage in Ezekiel, that speaks exactly that. That new nature. Its attitude is this. God puts his law in his heart. And then he says that I move him. And he goes. You see. He's told. And he bows. And he obeys. That's the grace of the new nature. Oh my dear friends. Just look at the passage. The verse 5. And when he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. Because that's exactly the problem, my dear friends. When people's hearts are hard towards the Lord, how will they be sensitive to others? If their hearts are, you know, there can be people who seem very nice in several departments of their lives, but reserve a whole area for themselves. And they will harden in that aspect. You cannot move them. You cannot stir them. And it takes the grace of God again to entirely challenge and change the entire heart and make it so soft and so that it becomes such that it can be moved with the things of God. Their problem is the hardness of their hearts, and so they would not listen. Their hardness of a not only to the man, they're so hardened they will not even listen to reason. A hardened heart has made its own resolutions already. And within bow to say, let me question this. This is the Savior speaking. This is the Lord speaking. Now, how does it tally with my opinion? How does it tally with my feeling? How does it tally with my inclinations? If a person is hardened, it's locked the door. It's really, you cannot really challenge anything. And to leave us very insensitive and very callous. Such that we would not feel even for others. Oh friends, this is quite sad. And we understand why the Lord Jesus Christ was so angry. My dear friends, could it not be that even you do not even care for your own soul? You are insensitive about spiritual things. You are so busy in getting the next clothes to wear. So busy to get something else for the flesh. Which if you need it, it's proper. But why have you not cared for your soul? Do you see? If the Savior was angry at these people, he would be angry with you also. You are not interested. You are only interested in getting money, getting a job, and getting all those other things. Surely these things are proper. You're supposed to work. You're supposed to do all those things. But none of them should be so important than your soul. You must. You must be such a person. When we say your soul, this is what we mean. Is to say that I as a person, I am a human being made by God. My flesh and my body is only a tabernacle. I'm living in a tent. But I as a person, I have a responsibility to seek this God and to find reconciliation at his hand. Otherwise, I cannot really follow him or know him. Friends, do you care for your soul? Are you interested in matters of your soul? Is somebody here? Perhaps you're even passionate about some of all manner of things around you. and none at all about your soul. None at all about how can I know God? How can I have my sin forgiven? How can I be changed and have God as my sovereign ruler? You need an authority over your heart. And how does authority function? Somebody will come say, go, and all I do is to go. Sit, and all I do is to sit. I'm questioning, not debating. And that's authority. God's authority over the heart. He must establish it there, my dear friends. Are you interested? Are you concerned about your soul? Now, one beautiful thing about the Savior, friends, is this. His care isn't only something he said. He would demonstrate it. He would demonstrate it right here. And we see that in the fifth verse there. And when he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he says unto the man, now he's coming to the man now. He's dealt with those people who were detractors. Now he comes to the man, stretch forth thine hand. This is an executive power, isn't it? And the Lord Jesus Christ has an executive power over the body. Oh, friends, I can't help but say it again. When you become a child of God, you feel that the Lord Jesus Christ has executive power over you. And that is why I keep repeating. You will hear his command. Once you are clear about his command, you will not ask anybody's opinion. You simply say, my Lord has said it, and I want to obey. This grace is given at conversion, where you come to the Lord and see him as your Lord and your master. Otherwise, it becomes a difficult thing for you, friends. And this is an executive power manifested by the Savior. Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. Preachers like to point out that one of the amazing things is that the very thing the man could not do is the thing the Savior was asking him to do. He has a withered hand. He cannot stop it. He cannot really lift it. And yet the Savior is saying, lift it. Sometimes people make that similar. They are challenged by the same situation. We tell them, repent. Repent and trust in the Lord. But repentance is the very thing they find difficult. Why? Because the love of sin destroys any desire of repentance. And so what happens? It is simply this. Is this man, oh my dear friend, I'm sorry, I have to stress, because that's what is missing nowadays. I do not know if anybody here, there's anybody here who tries to listen to preachers or things like that. This is what is lacking, and it is costing so much damage. Friend, it is this. Once again, it is only when this man, having heard the Lord, all he wanted to do was to obey, even if he could not, the Savior notices his willingness. The Savior notices his readiness to do, but his incapability. He is Lord. And I have to stress that again and again. Unless we are those persons who really submit to the Savior in the same way, we would always have difficulties. And as we said, I said, stretch forth thy hand, and the man stretched it out. The very thing he could not. Friends, how many times? No, I'm a pastor, and I've met that a number of times. You would find people and say, pastor, I want to become a Christian, but I can't stop this sin. I really want to become a Christian, but I cannot stop that behavior. Well, what do we tell them? Our first question is this. Are you sincere? Is it true that you really are burdened about that state? Is it true that you really want to be set free? If it is true and genuine, then call upon the Lord and tell him, oh Lord, I am a sinner. I am such a hopeless case. Here are the sins. You know far more than I do. And I cannot stop them. Yet I want to save me and to bless me. Friends, by the mercy of God, you will be heard. That would be the first time you would hear your, you see your prayer answered, because you would begin to be, the Lord, you see, the Lord has infused His power into you. And then He sets you free from the life of rebellion and disobedience. Friends, do you want to become a Christian, a child of God? Are you sincere about that? And are you finding it difficult because of some sin? Don't be afraid. There's help. Because we know this. When the Lord told preachers to preach these things, He made us understand that the power to set you free wouldn't come from you. It wouldn't come from the preacher. It would come from the Lord Himself. This is an aspect God has left to Himself. The preacher preaches, you hear, there's an aspect only God does. That aspect we call that enabling grace. If you are truly sincere and desire to be saved, the Savior would work in your soul and bless you and bring you to Himself. Friends, I have to begin to close now. Oh, but look how the wonder of the cure. Midway verse 5. I stretch forth thine hand, and He stretched it out, and His hand was restored whole as the other. This is an amazing miracle, isn't it? There's a hymn we sing. We say that for the Lord Jesus Christ, His love is as great as His power. He does not only wish us good, He has the power to do us good. He does not only tell us that He cares, He demonstrates it in acts of power to show us that He truly cares. How many times we see this weakness in man, and that's all we are. You know those who do rescue work, like the fire service and people who are trained to rescue somebody drowning in the sea. One of the first rules they give them is this, that make sure you yourself are safe. I remember there was a time that, wasn't when there was that tsunami, in one of the countries, it could have been Indonesia or the India, they probably have it with their monsoon rains where the countries get flooded. In this news item, a helicopter had been sent to go and rescue some of the persons, because some of the persons were only living on trees that had fallen and were just there. And so the helicopter gets over the person who is on this tree or some kind of a plank, anything he could feel safe on. And the helicopter comes over the person, hovers over there, and then they let down a cord. And somebody, who is one of the rescuers, actually really goes down the rope and tries to get the person, so that then after that they will be taken up. So this rescuer was on this rope. He got down and got to this, I think it was a piece of wood, and he got hold of this person who would otherwise perish. For some reason, whether out of fear or what, the person was struggling with the rescuer. As you can see, the two of them really wrestling. And it was sad, but he needed to do that. All you could see at that point was that the rescuer was trying to relieve himself of the person. They tried to just leave him off. The person fell into the river. I mean, the flood. Well, you may not have to blame him. They told him he must leave first. Because if you lost one, he may save 100 more. That's the rule for them. Well, friend, that's the limitations of human beings. I'm telling you this only to show. When the Lord Jesus Christ cares, He acts it out. When the Lord Jesus Christ wants to demonstrate His interest, He does that with power. And He would see it. He works with power in our souls. Conversion is a work of power. Becoming a child of God, it's a work of power. Hearing about it, it's a good part, it's an important part, but hearing and understanding it after that point is only in your head. But there has to be that manifestation of the power of God, where the things you've understood in your head, now you are made to embrace it, so that it has such a power over you and over everything you do and over your entire life. It is then and only then you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ entirely and embrace His salvation wholeheartedly, because you've seen and you've been changed by Him. Oh friends, how I want to encourage you. How I want to encourage you this morning to really come to Him. Friends, can I tell you this? Only He is that interested in you. Only He. And not only the interest, but only He has the power to demonstrate that interest. Do you want to live for this world? No. In 2 Corinthians, not into that because we don't often do this, but in 2 Corinthians, and this is a strange thing, the apostle who wrote that was telling the people there that why do you respect more those who slap you in the face and insult you? Those of us apostles who are gentle towards you, you despise. Because that's human nature. The way to get the respect of some people is to be rough and harsh, rough and rude. And then they'll say, hey, the man is coming. You know, that's in our nature, my dear friends. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ isn't like that. He is tender. Surely He has anger to sin. When He is angry, when His anger is aroused just a little, Psalm 2, who can stand before Him? But you see, to every one of us, He comes as a tender, inviting Savior, asking you to turn and telling you only He can care for you. Only He can show interest in the soul. But what's beautiful is that, look, in this world, whatever care anybody, the best of your friends would, I can just say this, that I wasn't actually eavesdropping, but I wasn't listening to them, but the taxi that I brought yesterday, there were ladies at the back, they were saying it so loud, I think, so you couldn't help but hear it. So I was never really trying to listen to what they were saying. But there were these ladies at the back, and I think she had given birth fresh. And she was full of praise for her stepmom. And was mentioning all manner of things that mom would do, the stepmom had done. And he went to his father. He was saying the same wonderful things about the father. You know, the reason why I'm telling you this is this. Any care we can get from any tender person is absolutely limited. Oh, I don't want to disturb you. But, you know, if a time comes for me to die, what can they do? They would only watch me die. They'd be sympathetic and cry for the doctor to come quickly and then tell the doctor to do his very best and all that, isn't it? But if I am dying, what can they do? If I am so bad and I get in prison, well, maybe they would bring me the best food to eat inside the prison, I'll still be a prisoner. All the care, friend, what encourages our hearts is this. If you become a child of God, there's no aspect of your life that He cannot demonstrate care. Every part. It makes you full. It makes you complete. Every department of your life, He's interested. He cares. He helps. He brings blessing. And here's your prayer. Oh, to come to Him, dear friends. To trust only in Him. Come as a needy sinner. Come to Him. Tell Him what you've done. Tell Him your state. After He's told Him the state of your heart, your sins, know that there's so many that you cannot tell Him because you've forgotten or don't even know. But only throw yourself upon Him as a sinner. A sinner who needs His pardon and forgiveness. Friends, do that and enter into His care and interest. There's a special care. He cares for His creation because you are created. He has a measure of care for you. That's why you always get your food. But there's a special care for those who belong to Him. Those who live under His government. Those who recognize Him as the only sovereign and only Lord. They recognize Him as their master and their mere servants. They recognize Him as the Lord over all. And their role as that of submission and loyalty to Him. My dear friends, this is what you would experience. But come to Him. Come genuinely. Repent of sin. Turn to Him. Yield your life into His hand. He's able to bless. and to demonstrate so much care. And as life rolls on, we can tell you this with confidence. You will have a testimony of many demonstrations of how He values you and how you are precious to Him. Oh friends, and I say that again, no one will give you that kind of care. No one. Oh friends, I have to close to this. This is why when you become a child of God, the Savior has washed you, went to Him as a sinner, repented of your sins, called upon Him to have mercy upon you. You have no confidence in what you can do, but in what the Savior did on Calvary's cross, and go to Him. Oh Lord, I'm only a sinner. The Savior died for needy sinners like me. And I go very sincerely and ask Him for a blessing of conversion and a new heart. When He grants that heart. See, this is why you become so willing. He is such a caring Savior. Once you are under His rule, you would understand His word. And once you understand it, you'll be so willing to obey, you will not care what anyone else said. Because you will become His sheep, and you will hear His voice. You wouldn't hear a stranger's voice. His voice will be authoritative. When you grasp what His word says, you would want to bow to it and come to Him and follow Him. Friends, do that today. Come to Him. Yield your life to Him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross. And ask Him to bless and to change you. And He will do it. If you are very sincere and genuine. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, how we adore Thee that we can experience a change that turns us from little lords into servants who willingly follow the Savior, who feel Thy executive power in our souls, and therefore we go if Thou would have us go. O gracious Father, none of us know this until Thou hast brought us and washed us and changed us. This is what we need. Come, O Lord, let us feel our need. Let us see how much we need Thee to work in this way in our hearts. Help us to be afraid of trusting in this world that would be so rough and rude toward us. But Thou art the tender Savior. Help us to heed Thy invitation and bow the knee to Thee. Look upon us and bless us. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.